Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 139 of D&D Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my convention buddy, Ben Bumhopper.
Well, hello, and in truth be told, we have been to one convention together?
Multiple, if you count BlizzCon.
Well, I didn't know if we were both at multiples or not, because I do remember seeing you once, and I thought it was at least a second time.
I think we've done at least two.
Yeah,
two BlizzCons. Because for those that know us, we both got our start in the Blizzard Arena, Heroes of the Storm, and World of Warcraft. So there were several years of overlap. As I did a podcast called Lords of the Storm, and Ben did one called Azeroth Roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were at the same BlizzCon several times. And
that's how we met,
the first actually. Time. Yeah. The first time we didn't know each other a whole lot, and we hung out a lot more the second time
because
we went to that really good breakfast place.
Yeah.
I remember.
Mm. Yeah, it's Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Yes. Yes. It was wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm now hungry for breakfast food.
I would like some chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles. So good. So this is a day later than normal because
and a week.
We wanted to wait until after Gen Con was done because Gen Con is a very, very big board game and tabletop RPG convention and lots and lots of news comes from there, so we figured that we wanted to be able to cover all the new things as it came out, and I'm glad we did because boy was there a lot of announcements. So this is most likely going to be one of the rare episodes of us mostly covering news and then opinions on a lot of the new stuff. Because this episode, obviously, we'll talk about all the new D&D stuff, but there's a lot of tabletop RPG stuff. And we always like to cover the goings on, the new games. We love trying new systems and such. So we'll be talking some about those as well, because there's a lot of really big announcements.
Yeah,
and
on top of that, too, I totally forgot that San Diego Comic-Con also happened. I'm going to put a couple
yes.
links, at the bottom here for us to just super quickly go over.
Yes, yes, SDCC did happen. And I'm very excited because they talked about a lot of shows and movies
yes.
that I am very excited for as they come in. So we will definitely cover those as well. So first off, let's start with the D&D news. There's a lot of big stuff. The biggest, honestly, being a post on D&D Beyond by Dan Ayoub. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it is A-Y-O-U-B. Ayoub. And Dan is now the head of the D&D franchise. He says he's been playing D&D since he was 12, and he's really excited to be leading the D&D team now. As you may recall, we talked about a lot of the turnover that has happened from some other people in Wizards, Hasbro, D&D team specifically in the last several months. So this is kind of a big deal. This is the guy who's the head of the D&D franchise, and he's kind of laying out his game plan. So he starts out by saying he loves the new updated rules, and they're excellent, and they set them up for the next while of game, which I agree. It was a decent refresh. I think it makes a lot of the things more fun. And it's a solid step forward. He then talks about the SRD, which is the system reference document. That's the free version of D&D, essentially, where he says they're going to commit to updating the SRD on a rolling basis, long-term access and support of the resource through the errata process. And this ensures the SRD will remain up to date with the latest standards and mechanics for creators to use in their works. So Ben, just as an aside for this one, I don't know about you, but one of the things I would love to see is I would love to see them add all the new classes they do into the SRD, because right now it's basically a big selection of, you know, monsters, magic items, then all of our main 12 classes and some of the subclasses.
Yeah, for basically everything except for the artificer.
And so I'm really hoping, and I think it would go a long way, let's get the artificer into the SRD. Mm-hmm. Let's get the Scion, whenever it comes out, into the SRD. Because this will then allow third parties to directly make content for these things, rather than having to kind of tiptoe around it and just be like, this is compatible with, you know, the thing we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm a mentalist. That's what this subclass is for, is a mentalist.
Uh-huh. So I think they could go a long way towards to, like, if you want to really embrace, as he talks about here in a second, like third party publishers and such, I think you need to include all your big mechanics. That includes your classes, get the artificer in there. Whenever the Scion comes out, get them in there. Get Bastion, get the Bastion system in there. It's not in there right now.
Oh, really?
It is not.
That's
and
kind
so,
of surprising.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where it's just like, people can make content for it, but you can't directly reference it right now. So get the, like, get all your systems in there so that people can play with them, add to them, and make more and better content. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that this will be a step in the right direction and that they will do something along those lines.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the, you know, if they're talking completely with, you know, remaining up to date with the, you know, standards and or latest standards and mechanics and stuff. I mean, like, if you look at the artificer itself, there's unique mechanics associated with that. So hopefully they'll look at that and see that as, you know, part of something that they need to include. And I'm with you on that. Like, really, in order to get a lot of those good graces back that they kind of ruined, it would benefit them greatly to really start including, you know, as much as they possibly can for that. Like, I understand the want to keep something unique to your own system, but at this point, throw everything in there, let everybody kind of play with it in their toy box. And
Your uniqueness is your settings.
Yeah.
Give us all the mechanical.
Exactly. Give us the tools to craft our own thing and have access to anything that's in there that we can kind of play around with.
Yeah, 100% agreed. So I'm really hoping we see more like that. And that would be the feedback I would give them, is, you know, expand that SRD more from a mechanical perspective. That includes all your classes, and that includes cool systems like Bastions. Mm-hmm. Another really big thing that they are doing, starting September 16th with the release of Heroes of the Borderlands, which is the new starter set, all registered D&D Beyond users, even the free ones, will be able to run games on the MAPS virtual tabletop with no subscription required.
Yeah.
So they're opening up that core experience on their 2D virtual tabletop MAPS module to everyone for free.
Yeah.
And then the master tier sub will still unlock more customizing. You'll be able to, you know, upload more homebrew maps, get custom tokens, maybe a few extra tools, but like all the base experience that's roughly like the Owlbear Rodeo type thing will be there for everyone. But of course, with the D&D Beyond integration that is going to work with your character sheet and such. So honestly, it's a good thing. It's a big win. It's kind of a freebie for, like, it feels like something that they shouldn't be doing anyways, but it is a great step.
Well, to be fair, right now, the VTT, the, you know, the virtual maps and everything, it's still in beta. So I understand why it's, you know, locked behind a subscription at the moment. So kind of makes sense. Yeah, kind of crappy, but at the same time, it's not widely released. I'm assuming that on September 16th, when this is releasing with Heroes of the Borderlands, that it's going to actually completely come off of beta, and then that's going to be the experience that everybody's going to have access to. Then, of course, if you have that Master Tier subscription, you're going to have, you know, all those extras to it and everything. What are you talking about, Ben?
D&D Beyond things don't get rid of the beta tag.
I mean, so far.
I'm looking at you, Encounter Builder.
Well, the thing is they tried to really add that into the tabletop. So and the fact that it wasn't updated for 2024 rules and everything. So like, yeah, all the calculation on that just isn't the same. So we'll see what happens with that in the future. But
see next episode where we talked about how badly D&D Beyond needs a facelift.
And you know what? Maybe this could be part of the new vision that's going forward.
I hope so.
You know, I think I can talk about it. I don't know, but I got a link to take a survey. So never more jokes about it. I love taking a survey. You know, I go out to eat somewhere and they're like, hey, on this receipt, there's a code for a survey. I'm like, I'm doing it. So yeah, if it's something that I am actually like loving and totally engaged with, then yeah, D&D Beyond, I took a very long survey and talked about the things that I would like to see changed, updated, things that I want. They did a whole bunch of questions. I gave them a whole bunch of answers. I'm not going to go into detail because, again, don't know if I can talk about it fully, but I took a survey and I will say that one of the freehand things, I'm like, I just want to see stuff work and be updated and do good. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, speaking of that, that is kind of addressed a little bit in the last portion of the letter that he put out it's called From the Community for the Community. Yeah. So he says, we're laying the groundwork for a new initiative that will bring community voices directly into the room. Our goal is to create a rotating advisory group made up of creators, publishers, educators, and fans who can help us shape future tools, policies, and content in a real ongoing way. We're still finalizing the structure and process, but our intention is clear. This isn't a one-time survey or a PR move. It's about building lasting collaboration with the people who make D&D what it is. More details to come, but we are also developing a creator spotlight program that will highlight third-party creations across official channels. If you're making something incredible, the world should see it. At D&D, we understand that community is the beating heart of the game we love, and we want it to thrive so more people can experience adventures with their friends and family. We've stumbled before, we've learned from it, and now we're committed to clearer communication, more transparency, and consistent support for players, creators, and publishers.
Yeah.
So, if this does come about, this is a very big step.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and definitely. I wholeheartedly support this type of like advisory group or council. It's been needed for a long time and it's been very sporadic up until now. So if they can actually follow through on this and create something lasting, I think it will be a huge boon for the game.
Yeah, and I think the cap on this post is really kind of nailing the overall optimistic theme of this. And it's that this new direction is already underway. And I mean, specifically says they need to earn our trust, not ask for it, which I think is paramount, especially with what's happened in the past, the past couple of years or so. But yeah, they're building a game that honors the past, listens to the present, and opens doors to the future. They're talking about, investing long term. They specifically say better digital tools. So who knows if that means an encounter builder is going to be better or not. But also like open development and content built alongside the players. And I like the fact that they really kind of saw, hey, this didn't work in the past. This is where we stumbled. This is where it like communication between us and just trust was broken. And now they're really like they took a hard turn into, hey, we know we really screwed up and we want to fix it and bring you along for the ride. So I think that this is a really good step. And, I'm not going to be blindly optimistic, but I do have a really strong hope that this works out long term.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it's at the very least, obviously, actions are more important than words. Mm-hmm. But the words at least are very good. And if they, and I think the making maps free is a really good kind of like olive branch starting step for this to show, hey, we want to kind of commit to this and do better and offer more. So I think that's, it's a very good start. And I think if they do follow through on this, it will only benefit everything, like the players, the DMs, and them as a company.
Yeah, exactly.
So excited, was excited that it's kind of out of left field. Was very excited to see that, kind of just around the Gen Con time. So hoping we'll definitely keep you posted as more of that type of stuff drops. And speaking of stuff dropping here very soon, in November, actually, obviously we've got our poor, Eberron got delayed, because of the, print quality issue that they had, which was disappointing, but it's also very good to that they acknowledged it and they're going to fix it and not send anyone crappy books.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad that it had to be delayed a little bit because that that delays the new 2024 Artificer for one of my players. But it's coming. I'm excited for it. Obviously, the Borderlands is coming in September. That will be really cool. It looks like a very, very good starter set. I was talking to a few people about it at my friendly local game store tonight, and several people mentioned they were very excited about it and how it had everything. And that could be, seemed like a very good kit you could just bring to a place and have everything you need mm-hmm. to run it, including cool player handouts and such. But in addition to those, coming on November 11th, we have a very large set of books.
I honestly didn't dig in too deep into this until I was prepping for the show today, and wow.
Yeah, it's big. So this is the Forgotten Realms setting. So the kind of the quintessential what you think of D&D as a fantasy campaign type setting. Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, right? So there are two fairly large books coming. Forgotten Realms, Heroes of Faerun, and Forgotten Realms, Adventures in Faerun. And so these two books are sold either separately or in a big bundle together. The Forgotten Realms, Heroes of Faerun is the player expansion for the setting. And then the Forgotten Realms Adventures in Faerun is the Dungeon Master version for the setting. So this is kind of cool. We haven't really seen this before, I don't really think, in fifth edition, where it's just like, here's a setting book, but it's so big that there's a player version of the setting book and a DM version of the setting book.
Yeah, and the neat thing is the player version, the Heroes of Faerun, it has a lot of the subclasses that we've been talking about previously from Unearthed
UA Arcana stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you know, the Bladesinger Wizard. They have the Scion of the Three Rogue. Those are called out specifically, but I mean, that's going to be a lot of the like arcane classes that we were talking about. I think it was it last episode, maybe the one before. But also like tons of feats, a bunch of new backgrounds, something that is a new mechanic that I think is cool, which is circle magic. Basically, it's cooperative casting mechanic of some sort. So I don't know if it's like, you know, three people work on casting a spell and it's a bigger fireball, or summon a dragon. I don't know. Who knows what it is? I haven't looked at the book, obviously, but I like the idea of having multiple spellcasters in my group being able to be all like, hey, let's do a group effort here. Kind of like in like Chrono Cross or Chrono Trigger, how you have multiple characters doing the same thing for a bigger effect. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's factions, yeah. There's locales.
Expanding renown, yeah. The renown mechanic, which I think is a really cool thing.
Yeah, plus they're actually throwing in 42 different gods in here for worship, which, you know, if you look in the DMG and the player's handbook, there's really not a whole lot on a pantheon in there. So giving more information for that for, you know, cleric or paladin players, or just, you know, if you want to fill in different types of gods or religions and stuff in your world, you have a bit more of some information with that. I think that's absolutely great. And all that's in the player version of it, the Heroes of Faerun.
Yeah. And then over on the DM side, it comes with 50 plus ready to run adventures for levels 1 through 15, 5 detailed setting guides. So like Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, etc. 37 monsters and villains, 12 new magic items, regional bastion options to build strongholds, which again, it's awesome to see that they're supporting these systems. And I think is just another reason why these systems need to get into the SRD, mm-hmm. so that other third parties can support them. Because once you get it into there, people can go wild with it and really make those systems shine, right? You have a starter adventure for characters levels 1 through 3. You have 50 plus quick play maps with tokens, Fog of War, and stickers for D&D Beyond maps. And then if you get the digital versions, you will get extra maps for D&D Beyond maps specifically. Yeah. So you can order those books as physical or digital physical combo for both sets of them, or they have this Forgotten Realms Ultimate Bundle, which comes with both physical and both digital books, as well as 3 digital expansions.
Yeah, that is kind of something cool. New, too, mm-hmm. that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And the best part is the first one that comes out is Astarion's Book of Hungers. It has vampiric options and monsters and like adventure content where you get to hang out with Astarion. How great is that?
Yeah, super cool. And all 3 of those will be available to purchase separately.
Yeah, 15
digitally. Yeah, as well, if you don't end up getting the Ultimate Bundle, because not going to lie, the Ultimate Bundle is fairly pricey.
It is very pricey.
It's $160.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2 books, 2 physical books, 2 digital books, and then the 3 digital, like, kind of expansion books. One of them being Astarion's Book of Hungers, Netheril's Fall, which is a journey back in time to one of the Forgotten Realms' most storied empires. And so it's another kind of like a big lore chunk, mm-hmm. For a setting within the Forgotten Realms. Yep. And then there's a third secret and digital dice. And then there's a third secret expansion, apparently, that more details will be revealed soon. So, I mean, it's quite a bit, but it's also a lot to just plop down all in one go, money wise. So, all of them are available individually, based on what you want to get. I know for sure for me, the player expansion will be worthwhile, for my players to be able to have all the options. I probably will pick up Forgotten Realms, Adventures in Faerun as well, for some of the extras at some point. So yeah, lots of different options, for all the different price points.
Yeah. And there is a pre-order bonus that is maybe only available for pre-order. It says that it is. Who knows if they'll ever release it later on or not, but it basically is just an exclusive animated map. So you get an extra map on top of that.
That's a new feature.
Yeah.
Apparently that came out not too long ago, is you can use the animated, like the animated map tiles. There's a ton of creators that do those animated maps. Mm-hmm. I believe you can make those in Dungeon Alchemist.
I haven't tried yet, but I am going to soon.
I believe you can make them and then export them in that like animated map, like movie file or WebP file or something like that. So if you do have a subscription, that's another really cool thing you can do with Dungeon Alchemist is make an animated map and then be able to use it on D&D Beyond.
Oh yeah, so, most definitely.
Super cool. And then also, if that weren't enough, there was a fairly big partnership that was announced at Gen Con. So one of the biggest Pathfinder adventures is getting a 5e conversion and is going to be releasing on D&D Beyond.
Yeah, this blew my mind when I saw that it was Pathfinder.
Yeah, so apparently, because I have not played a whole lot of Pathfinder, but the Abomination Vaults is apparently one of like the big Pathfinder adventures. And Paizo is specifically doing this. They are doing a 5e conversion of the Abomination Vaults, and it is up for pre-order right now on D&D Beyond. Actually, I think it might just be, yeah, I think it's just ready to go. Ready, like, ready, you can just straight up buy this. It was like the shadow drop type thing. So 16 magic items, 13 regular items, new spells, 92 monsters, 13 maps. For the maps, it's levels 1 through 11 adventure, and you just get this big like mega dungeon, and it's apparently, like I said, apparently it's a very big Pathfinder adventure. So very unexpected, very cool partnership.
Yes, I again absolutely surprised. Really quick though, do you want to note that there is content warning with this, with themes of suicide, ableism, body horror, and human experimentation. So just heads up, they have a content warning right there. So it might not be for everybody, but it is definitely going to be a very scary, freakishly
typical scary mega dungeon fare.
Pretty much from what it can seem like. but yeah, it still blows my mind that Paizo's doing this. This is absolutely fantastic. And who knows what opportunities this might open up for the future for more collaboration. And I think that this is a perfect example of them opening it up and really trying to do what's best for the player base. So one step in the right direction.
This is a big collab for sure. If you're just talking third party stuff, like, this is one of the biggest you could possibly do. So again, if this is indicative of the direction that they're going, I really like it. Like, mm-hmm. more of this, please. More of this.
Definitely.
All right. So let's move on from D&D specific stuff and talk about some of the new stuff from some other big tabletop RPGs that came out at either Gen Con or other stuff.
Just one more D&D thing that did drop. This was either it dropped around the time San Diego Comic-Con came out or whatever. But the Cthulhu by Torchlight is also now available on D&D Beyond. So another third party. So the Cthulhu Mythos invades 5th edition, and it comes with some classes, monsters, some different feats, magic items. So again, kind of more if you're looking for that abyssal horror kind of stuff, you've got some official third-party Cthulhu stuff added right into 5th edition for you.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. And I think this was worked on... by Mike Merles.
All I can tell you is the publisher, because I've got just the page pulled up, by Chaosium. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, Chaosium. So that they are the official makers of Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, well, darn. There you go. There's another real big, another big party one added in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Another really big one. So very, very cool to see this kind of collab and just get, again, D&D 5e especially is a very good framework, mm-hmm. for a lot of different things. Obviously, the systems themselves are also very good. I've played Call of Cthulhu before. I know plenty of people that play Pathfinder, but for those that know D&D, it's really cool to be able to get that type of experience within D&D without having to learn a whole new system.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So some of the other stuff. One thing that caught my eye. So if you're into superheroes, there are a few different superhero tabletop RPGs out there. One of the bigger ones is called Mutants and Masterminds. And this RPG is going to be getting a fourth edition update with a like playtest version of it coming out very soon. Apparently they had some playtest packets for this fourth edition at Gen Con, but they're going to be releasing them so I believe sometime in August. And this is Green Ronin Publishing. They have done 5e stuff as well before. But I have always wanted to play a superhero RPG.
Mm-hmm.
This one is always always comes up when discussing like what are good superhero RPGs, because we got this one, we've got the Marvel Multiverse one. That one came out relatively recently,
yeah,
if I recall. And then there's another one that's fairly big that is, I think that's more like the teenager superhero style of game that I cannot for the life of me remember the name of.
I don't know. I'm just going to call it Sidekicks and Wards. We're just going to throw that out there. And if not, then I need to go ahead
and warn.
Yeah, I need to go ahead and put a copyright out there so that I can start creating that.
Masks.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, masks. So that's like the other one of the other really big ones that I've heard of. There are several. But Mutants and Masterminds is one of the, you know, slightly more crunchy superhero tabletop RPGs, lots of options. So if you're interested in that, keep your eye out. We may have a link whenever they put out the playtest if you want to check that out.
Yeah. And from, you know, just kind of reading the article that we have here, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And even more so, they're kind of gearing their D20 system to be kind of a little bit more similar so that it's familiar enough for, you know, just basically D&D players to kind of jump in and have a very quick understanding of how the game is run and build and everything. So if you're really looking for a chance to, you know, get some superhero stuff in there, this seems like it's actually going to be a pretty cool system to kind of jump in and play around with.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out when they drop it, the new edition for sure. And speaking of new things, another kind of shadow drop ish thing that came out literally just a few days ago. MCDM has been working on their tabletop RPG for the last few years. They had a insanely successful backer kit,
mm-hmm,
crowdfunding campaign for their RPG called Draw Steel. And it is out. It is fully out now. You can get the books, you can get the digital, you can get this new starter adventure they have, the Tomb of Dalen, which is essentially a kind of a port of a D&D adventure that Matt Colville wrote, and they have structured it in such a way that apparently you just open it up and it literally teaches both the director, which is what they call the game master, and the players how to play as you do the thing. It literally teaches you how to play just by running this adventure. So extremely cool. I heard a lot of really good things. I personally back the digital versions of it. So I really want to run it. From all I've heard, it's very fun. And it's basically like, what if we made D&D, but with better combat?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because there was, especially during the OGL fiasco and that time of turmoil, a lot of new things started being developed. I mean, that's kind of where we got the Daggerheart. That's kind of where we got this draw steel as well. It's like, how could we make D&D better type thing, right? And Daggerheart kind of went a little more the narrative side of things, and draw steel went a little more on the tactical combat side of things.
Yeah, definitely.
And so apparently the combat is very fun.
Yeah,
I'm excited to check it out.
From what I've seen, it looks like they kind of kind of geared towards fourth edition of D&D, which was, you know, very again, I can only speak of fourth edition D&D, is very like more like video game focused, like, you know,
MMO-ish.
Like World of Warcraft, where you have certain cooldowns where like I can use this, you know, once per encounter, or I can use this once per day and stuff, and you chose your different abilities and stuff like that. So it, apparently it's kind of similar to that, but the big draw here is, or the big difference between this and like D&D, is the fact that when you do some sort of attack, something always happens. Like, you're not going to roll your die and miss. You're not going to roll your die and then have something just like, you know, completely negate that. So like that part of it is kind of cool. I think it's neat. You do two D10s, I believe, and then add stuff together. If it's like below a certain threshold, it's like, you know, something weak happens. If it's like mid threshold, then it's just normal thing. If it's above that, then like bonuses happen and it, you know, go on top of it. So again, it, like you said, it's kind of more, you know, tactical combat focused, whereas Daggerheart is more RP focused. So I like the fact that we have these branching types of gameplay that will really call and lean towards the people who want to focus on more of that aspect for their gaming. And it,
exactly. You
know, and like something that we've always said before is that more options in the marketplace strengthen everybody else. So I love the fact that this is out here and has something, you know, more going for it than just like, oh, well, we got mad at D&D, so we made our own game. No, this is actually sounds like a very compelling game system and something that's kind of really cool to do.
Yeah. A rising tide raises all boats, right?
Oh yeah.
It's one of those things where like you can like more than one thing.
What? You mean I can like Star Wars and wild. Star Trek at the same time?
Well, not that.
Oh, okay. Just making sure here. Didn't want to have crazy talk going on.
But yeah, no, like you can like more than one thing. This is not like D&D now bad, new systems out, Daggerheart best or draw steel best. Like this is, there is more variety out there, and some groups this is going to be incredible for, because it will take what they were doing and make what they like better.
Mm-hmm.
Because D&D is great. It is super fun. I don't expect to stop playing D&D probably ever. But will I be excited to try out some of these new systems? Do some one-shots, do some like short things? Totally. I'm super pumped to do that. Will I ever run a long-term campaign in them? I don't know. But that doesn't necessarily matter, because there are going to be people who do. And there are going to be people who like it. And there will be people whose groups are very much geared towards these things.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they exist is a good thing.
Definitely.
Very good thing. All it can do is widen the audience. And that's really good. If you want to see how it plays, Matt actually has the first episode of a small actual play they're doing on the MCDM or the Matt Colville channel. So if you want to check out what the game looks like, how it plays, that is probably one of the best places you could start. And we'll have a link in the show notes. We'll make sure we get that. But I'm excited. I'm going to try and watch it myself just to kind of see how it plays, but it sounds like it's very much of a resource build up system as you go through these fights, so that you can do your cool stuff all the time or more often and not have to worry about like resource conservation or just the, I went Nova and now I'm just plinking you with a crossbow type thing.
Can I just tell you that a light bulb moment just happened and I feel really dumb about it?
What light bulb went off there,
Ben? MCDM, Matt Colville Dungeon Master. I'm assuming that's what it stands for. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because I never thought about what it meant before. And now I'm feeling really stupid.
I think there's a whole discussion or argument around what like MCDM actually means.
I'm going with that. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I'm going with it because it just makes sense to me.
it's very funny. It's very funny. Okay, but yeah, Draw Steel. Very excited to hopefully try it out at some point, along with all the other bajillion things I need to try out.
Yeah. And speaking of things we need to try out.
Oh, boy. The other super big game that we just mentioned, Daggerheart. Daggerheart released in full just a few months back. It's not been out very long at all. They're doing very well. They've been selling out of their initial print run. They had a bunch of big announcements. Obviously, we talked about the Jeremy Crawford, Chris Perkins going to Darrington Press and joining that team. They made several really big announcements around Daggerheart at Gen Con, the biggest of which are they've got class packs coming to Kickstarter this September. So basically they'll be packs of like 76 cards. New classes will come out in these packs, so you can buy these classes individually. So that's really cool. They've got a homebrew kit for free.
Let's go back to the class packs really quick.
Do you have more?
Yeah, basically these are the current classes that come in the whole Daggerheart like pack. So if you're a player and you want to have your own stuff, you can take your own class, have that and everything. And then in an interview, Matt also said, yeah, this is a really good way of like, if you lose some cards, this is a cheaper way to get those cards back. So the ones that come out initially are going to be for the current classes that exist. There's going to be backers or a Kickstarter that's going to be coming. That'll give you the core rule book as well as, one of the classes and all that.
They just announced they got two more in playtesting.
Yeah, exactly. So it is going to be, a really good way to kind of, add expansions to Daggerheart. As a class, as opposed to having to produce an entire book and throw a class in that way. And then maybe your book gets damaged and then it gets, delayed until the end of the year and everybody gets sad. And then the all artificer game that you're playing at your local hobby store means you have to play the old version instead of the new one because the book is delayed. I mean, it's a really good way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. In addition to all that cool stuff, they've also got a new campaign they call their settings frames, which are basically just like it's slotted in settings to the core mechanics, right? So they're coming out with a romanticy campaign frame next year that is kind of based off their Tusk Love, which if you will be very familiar if you watched Critical Role Campaign 2. But basically enemies and admirers alike are your rivals as you set out to take on this year's matchmaking season in the Shining Empire of Numisara, the City of Crowns.
It's gonna
they had a Dimension 20 season called A Court of Fae and Flowers.
Yeah.
It's that same type of deal, Right. That same type of thing. So that's sure to be fun. And there's definitely a niche of people that love doing those type of campaigns.
Yeah. And speaking of new, you know, campaign settings and everything like that, we finally got confirmation on what Chris Perkins and Jeremy Crawford are specifically currently working on for Daggerheart. Jeremy Crawford is taking point on a new setting for Daggerheart, and apparently in a hellishly terrifying genre. So, you know, only Jeremy Crawford could do that.
That tracks.
and then Chris Perkins is going to be basically making different campaign frames. So I think that they are both completely perfect for those types of jobs, just based on what they've done with D&D. And I look forward to kind of hearing more about them. I still haven't had a chance to pick up Daggerheart, but I mean, it seems like a game system that would be a lot of fun, especially since, you know, I really enjoy role playing a lot more than just combat. So
yeah
seems
great. And they also announced Age of Umbra, which they just finished up recently, is going to get a second season, so there's going to be more Daggerheart coming very soon. There's going to be some actual plays of Daggerheart coming from a few big content creators. Mm-hmm. They got Keith Baker, who's of Eberron fame. He's going to be working with Jen Ellis in a new world for Daggerheart. So they've got a lot of stuff coming. They seem to really, really be committed, at least right now, to supporting this and firing on all cylinders. It's definitely one to keep an eye on, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. And then on top of that, too, I was able to find a YouTube video of Todd Kenrick, our good old buddy Todd Kenrick, did an interview with to talk about all the different Daggerheart stuff. So we'll make sure to post that in our links as well.
Yes, really cool that he is doing YouTube content.
I love that. Yeah, and I love the fact that it's like, oh, he's just talking to his friends who he's talked to many times before. It's pretty great.
Yep. And then in the other big piece for those who are big Critical Role fans, they did just announce, I believe yesterday or the day before yesterday, that Campaign 4 is coming. Yes. It is going to be in a brand new world, new setting. And that Matt is not going to actually DM it,
which some people are stupidly upset about that. I am absolutely fantastically surprised and happy because Matt should get a chance to have a break and get a chance to play in a campaign as opposed to just like a short, like one shot or four episode arc or something, because, you know, him as a DM is great. Him as a player is almost better because of how creative and like interesting his characters are.
I'm honestly actually more interested in checking it out with him being a player. Like I was really big in the campaign one. That's one of the things that helped me get started in D&D, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then my wife and I watched all of campaign two almost live. That was the pandemic, the COVID like thing. And I'm so excited for the animated series coming out. That was kind of our thing. Campaign 3 really didn't attract my interest that much. That wasn't something that I watched at all, but I will almost certainly check out this fourth campaign. I'm excited to see a little bit more of a long form where Matt is a player. And they did announce as well that Brennan Lee Mulligan is going to be DMing. And as many of you know, if you've been listening for a while, he is my absolute favorite DM. Some of the shorts he has done, like Calamity specifically, one of the best pieces of media, like period, that I have ever seen.
Yeah, not just actual play.
Yeah, like just media, like absolutely incredible, like 20 hours ish worth of content. Just incredible stuff. So I think he will do a very good job. It'll be fun to see him do a longer form campaign.
Yeah,
because even most of his D20 stuff,
it's like 10 episodes or so.
10, 20, 24 episodes on the longer end. And then obviously we've got his actual play, the witch, the Wizard in the Wild one, I believe, is just wrapping up that first big arc. And they're going to be switching over to Abria to DM a next setting in New World. I assume before they come back to that. So it does seem like all the stars aligned and this is the perfect time for him to do something like this. And for all the Dropout fans, he also mentioned he just signed a 3-year new deal with Dropout to do more Game Changer, Make Some Noise, two of my favorite shows ever, and more D20 specifically. They're going to be doing more hero seasons of the Intrepid Heroes, which is like the main six that have some of the greatest campaigns: Fantasy High, On Sleeping City, Crown of Candy, just to name a few. I'm currently watching through Starstruck Odyssey, which is quite good as well. So they haven't announced a whole lot of details about it. My personal guess is that this will probably be their last D&D campaign. And because, especially with Age of Umbra 2 being announced for Daggerheart, it feels like, and with Brennan being the DM, it feels like this will probably be a D&D campaign still, but they haven't actually announced it yet, so we don't know.
It feels like that's kind of the right way to go. They have the 2024 rules that they can kind of jump in, that could still give them like partnership with like D&D Beyond or Wizards of the Coast or whatever to kind of, you know, help with that while they're still putting a foot down for Daggerheart. But even so, I don't know if I would say that it's going to be the last D&D campaign for Critical Role. Mainly because, again, Daggerheart and Dungeons and Dragons are different types of game systems. I can see them continuing having different campaigns both systems kind of playing out because they're growing as more of a, you know, a publisher and as an entertainment channel and stuff with, more things here and there, more actual plays going on. So, you know, keep all the fans happy with a lot of the different stuff that there is to offer, especially since this is going to be the first time that you're having someone else as the DM for a long form campaign. It's basically just saying, we're going to try this out. We're going to see what happens. And if it has the same, you know, fervor and following that the first three campaigns did, then it's something that they know that they can do, whether having Brennan come in for a fifth campaign or maybe Abria running one or someone else who is, you know, up and coming or that they tap in to come in as a guest or anything along those lines. There's, you know, lots of room for them to continue with D&D as well as Daggerheart. And I mean, frankly, campaign one, absolutely loved it. It's probably my favorite of the three campaigns. Two was a lot of fun. I loved the characters in that. Three, it was a little rough for me to kind of get into, but I have finally fallen back into it. There's an event that happens in there that had spoiled for me because I was behind and I didn't want to get to that point. So I stopped watching it for a very long time. But earlier today, I finally got through that episode. So I'm like, okay, I'm in the stretch to the end here to see kind of what happens. And we already know that season four isn't going to be on Exandria based on, you know, the press release. So, you know, it's all going to be new. It's all going to be different. And I'm excited for whatever it brings. Cause I mean, pretty much anything Brennan touches is successful, especially his American Girl doll shoes. So I'm, you know, looking to see how he might incorporate that into everything too.
Huge success.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I hope they continue to do varied forms of content. Because I think that's where everything flourishes.
Yeah.
Everything, exposure for everything, a little something for everybody. And kind of to cap off the Critical Role type announcements, you mentioned SDCC. They did announce that the campaign two, campaign two, the first season of the animated show is going to be dropping in November.
Yeah.
So that's super exciting. And then season four of Vox Machina is coming next year as they start their way towards the Vecna arc, which is
which means
extremely exciting.
The fifth season has been confirmed and renewed as well. So we're getting season four and five will be the final arc of the actual play.
Which is very exciting to me because I was really hoping that they would get that one additional season to really wrap it up and give it the time it deserves because there's a whole lot that happens and it's that's incredible storytelling and just a lot of fun. So it's exciting to hear that they got all the time they needed to tell the full story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, granted, I would love to see the campaign in cartoon form just continue on forever, but that's kind of what we're getting with, you know, Mighty Nein coming as well. And they did have a quick brief scene from each that they dropped on YouTube, which are absolutely hysterical. We'll have those in the show notes as well. And if you want to see them, if you don't touch them and don't be spoiled.
Yeah, I'm very excited for those to drop in November. That'll give a lot of fun watching over the holiday period for sure. Especially, and I'm excited for the season or campaign two one specifically, just because we did watch that one from the beginning to the end, almost live. And so it holds a special place in my heart for sure. Story wise, it's a different level than campaign one was. And I really like it. So excited to see that in animated form.
Yeah. Then last but not least,
I
don't have any more information than just the tiniest little bit of pictures from Justice Armin. He was at San Diego Comic-Con at the Hasbro booth. He was able to take some pictures of some cases of some of the new stuff that they have that's coming out for sale. And so we'll just go ahead and include that in there. There's a cool statue of the Emperor from Baldur's Gate. There's a really cute plushy owlbear, some U2's figures. There's an actual bag of holding bag that you can get. That's pretty neat. They also have the new starter set, like kind of out, and you can see just the expanse and breadth of all the stuff that's in there. So we'll make sure to have a link to that Blue Sky post in the notes as well.
Whew. Lots of news. Lots of news. Lots of very exciting stuff from all across the tabletop RPG spectrum.
Oh yeah, and though, we totally forgot to mention the Stranger Things D&D box set where you can play the campaign that they played on Stranger Things.
Oh yeah.
Totally forgot about that too. I mean, seriously, so much information.
So much information. Which is why we dedicated an entire episode to it. We don't do this often, but there's a lot of really cool stuff that we're both very excited about. So very excited to see a lot of these things drop and for some of them, just play them.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, we are going to wrap up the episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks, of course, with all sorts of new fun stuff and a new topic to talk about. But as always, before we go, Ben, What have we been playing lately? I know you got to do a few things since last we met.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I made an artificer for the very first time because this weekend we are going to be playing an all artificers game at our local game store that originally was going to be set around the time for the new Eberron book to come out. Oops, that didn't happen, but we're still going to be playing, and it's going to be my first time doing it, and I'm looking forward to it. But in my home game, we unfortunately had to cancel because some of our people were sick. We bumped it, and then I was able to get everybody together on Saturday. And we ended up actually updating everybody's characters to the 2024 rules because of the magical, you know, power visions of the past that they had. I figured it was a really good way to kind of like enhance their abilities based on the, you know, the touch of magic that hit them. So everybody kind of got updated. We swapped some things around for some people and made them, you know, close to where we could, change things where they wanted to. And our next session is going to have them kind of, you know, going out and exploring the world, probably on their very brand new airship that they're going to be getting.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. One of the Silver Dragon that helped kind of design the original first airship was in the town and saw them and hinted that they were going to be gifted one. So they know one's coming. And I said, hey, thinking of a good ship name. So, and with that, I'll smack my microphone. Anyways, how about you? What have you been able to play, or what are you up to?
So my main D&D campaign will be coming off of hiatus soon, which is extremely exciting for me. So we're going to start playing again near the end of the month. But I had the privilege of popping over to one of my friends' houses just the other week and playing the brand new Stormlight Archive RPG. And so we he ran us through the like level one, like starter adventure type thing. And so we got to learn the system. I'm huge fan of Brandon Sanderson and the book series. So obviously it means a little more if you have read the books. But it was a very good system. It's a D20 base, so it's fairly familiar. If you've played D&D or another D20 based system, it will be very familiar and not too bad to pick up on. There's a lot of unique things as well, but it didn't take me too long to get the hang of it. There's still like ability checks and such, but you can also, there's also a cool mechanic called the plot die that in big situations or at pivotal story moments, you roll with your checks if the game master tells you to, that can then add something extra, affect the story or affect your role or the outcome somehow. So that's a kind of a cool aspect of it. It was only a level one adventure, so we didn't get into the class progression path system, but that's, I think, one of the biggest departures from like a D&D is it's kind of like a talent tree type progression system where you can just like kind of pick and choose and pull from different things.
That's interesting.
I also really liked how they did like big skill checks. They have their own word form that I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but it's basically the cinematic moments where you do your skill checks for certain things. You can't repeat the same one. You have to get a certain amount of successes before you get a certain amount of failures or something, you know, happens one way or another. it's a little more codified in the system itself. I've used very similar things in D&D before. And I really like that type of thing. Just for D&D. And this is a reason you play other systems, because even if you don't play them long term, you can bring cool ideas back to whatever you are playing.
Yeah.
Because many things you can kind of just fit into what you're playing if the mechanic is cool. The other cool mechanic, I really liked how Stormlight did their initiative system. So the way their initiative system works is you can basically either choose to do a fast turn or a slow turn. If you do a fast turn, you get two actions that you can use. If you do a slow turn, you get three actions that you can use. And there's a obviously a list of all the different actions the characters can take. But initiative basically always goes fast turn player characters, fast turn NPCs, slow turn player characters, slow turn NPCs. So it's a great way. I really liked it because you don't have to keep track of where people are in the initiative system for the DM.
Yeah.
Other than just you two are fast, you two are slow. And then I have my fast characters and my slow characters. And then you can, within each of those things, like the fast player characters and the slow player characters, you can just talk amongst yourselves who wants to go first. So it's kind of a hybrid, I guess,
yeah,
between the structured initiative of D&D and the basically no structure of Daggerheart when it comes to like, so it's, I honestly love the middle ground of where it's like a, there's no like set numbers, but you kind of know where you are, but you don't have to necessarily keep track because you decide each round if you want to be fast or slow.
Yeah, that's kind of cool and gives you, you know, some, it's getting late and I'm having a hard time with work.
Flexibility.
That's the exact word I was looking for. I was going to say fluid ability. I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. Again, it would be way more fun if you know the world and you know the thing, but the system itself was solid. It was very fun to play and I would definitely do it again.
Very cool.
Okay, Ben, I know talked a lot. My voice is wearing out. So we will wrap this episode up. But of course, please, before we go, tell everyone where we can be reached.
Yes, of course. So we've talked a couple times about how we're going to be putting links on our show notes. And you know, if you're sitting there confused, wondering, what does that mean? Well, if you go to dndiscussions.com, we're going to have a basically a post, and it's going to have our show and it's going to have links to everything we've talked about, as well as links to our socials. And you know what? On D&D or dndiscussions.com, you can find every other episode we have ever done as well. So, you know, it's a really good place to find more us. But the best link that you're going to find on there in our socials is actually going to be to our Discord. We have a Discord server where people meet up, talk, share memes, have fun, ask questions, tell stories about their, you know, games that they're running or playing in. And it's a really great community. We have a lot of wonderful people there. So join our Discord by going to dndiscussions.com. You can reach out to us there, talk to us through it and everything like that. If you're looking for another way to talk to us, we are on Blue Sky. The show's Blue Sky is D&D Discussions. Ryan is TBK Zord, and I am Ben Bumhofer. You can reach out to us and, you know, find us there. And of course, if for some reason you don't want to do it in Discord, you don't want to talk over Blue Sky, you know, you want to send us something because, you know, you just want to share your story with just us. You can always email us or send questions or anything else to dndiscussions@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. We love hearing your stories. And if you have questions or show topic ideas and stuff, that's the best way to do it. Just send them that way. That being said, if you're like, hey, these guys talk about tabletop games and everything, I bet they don't even play them. Well, I bet you're wrong. You can hear me. I'm on an actual play podcast called Plus Five to Hits. And we are going through some really fun stuff. We're on, I think, episode 5 of our third campaign. So it's a good starting point. And you can hear what it's like when I play a barbarian dragonborn who is, you know, kind of a cool guy. I like him anyway. But that being said, everybody, thank you very much for supporting us. Thank you very much for listening and also sending in all your questions, topics and all that stuff and reaching out on Discord. We'd love talking to you. Ryan, it is a pleasure as always. You very much for compiling and finding all of these links that we're going to have on dndiscussions.com.
So many. Really by the longest that. Links show notes. Yeah, that we've ever done.
It's going to be pretty big. We've had some big ones, especially when we were going through 2024 stuff before it came out, because we have a video and then a recap and then there were like a bunch of them. But this is all different stuff. So it's going to be hefty. But with that, anyways, again, Ryan, always a pleasure. And everybody, until next time, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.